You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
This type of Thanksgiving offering had nothing to do with, I send Lord, let's set this food aside, and let's burn it up so that we don't get to enjoy it. I'm sacrificing something. This was well mixed with oil. This was healthy, delicious bread. Okay. And we are going to eat this today to remember God's goodness. And it's kind of representing God's goodness is its nourishment to our bodies. And that the Lord is the one who provided this meal. And I know the pilgrims were evangelizing the Indians as much as we look back at Thanksgiving today. This is a way in which we know God has blessed these pilgrims and their stance to make Jesus Christ king and no other kingdoms. It's Christ is king. He's Lord of Lord, King of Kings. So that's really what the brunt end of the first Thanksgiving was about.
Well, also to the Indians, because maize, M-A-Z-E, or corn, it has to be planted, right? Mm-hmm. And it was the Indians that first knew about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, to this day, they don't eat corn in England because they considered cattle food. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So can you imagine, you want to feed these people and give back. The Indians taught them how to survive. The first winter the pilgrims were here, you can ask historians, they say, excuse me, they almost died of starvation.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so they were very thankful to these Indians and wanted to, I mean, and be kind, right? I mean, it does say that if you say, if there's an act of religion, then there's an act of heart. I don't know how you would word that. But Jesus said, if you say you love the Father whom you've not seen and don't love the brother whom you have seen, you're a liar and no truth dwelleth in you. So the way anybody treats me, God's watching. So I want to warn you, you better treat me nice, because God says, well, if you don't treat Rhett nice, then don't come to me and say you love me.
Right.
See that? That's, you know?
Well, anytime we, hey.
Did that sound manipulative?
Anytime that we as Christians want to acknowledge the provisions God has given us, the requirement is sacrifice. You can't have Thanksgiving without sacrifice. Just like we said, you've got to have some skin in the game.
What about Abraham with Melchizedek? What did he give him? Now, supposedly, they say now they don't know who Melchizedek was, but some say he was Jesus. But he gave a tithe.
Sure.
A tithe to the stranger in the desert.
Right. You know, and it was to represent a good portion of funds that would probably require cutting back somewhere else in your life. You know, you don't give out of your abundance. You give to the point where it creates dependence. Like that's the type of giving that we're called to give.
What do you mean creates dependence? What do you mean?
So if you just give out of, you know, if you're the billionaire that gives out $100, that doesn't really cut to.
Oh, it's got to hurt.
It's got to hurt a little in the sense that it requires you now to depend on the Lord. Think about when Christians are called to fast. You know, we should be a people who do fast. I had to fast quite a bit 2 days ago. And
had a medical procedure.
You know, and yeah, we don't even discuss any more details.
Drinking the Gatorade,
on that.
Right?
Yeah. But.
I remember
you know,
being so hungry when I said, if I could just have a slice of chicken. I said, remember this one you can eat again, because then be as thankful for chicken as you were for ice cream. And right after that, do you know what I did? I lost 52 pounds because I kept being thankful just for the chicken and the vegetables, knowing what it was like not to even be able to eat those.
But if we're giving,
it was easy to put aside the ice cream and the cookies.
If we're giving just simply out of our abundance rather than out of our loss.
Sacrifice.
Then it's not really this big thankful heart, because you want to be drawn to your dependence on the Lord. And so you give till it hurts. And you also
so in
should
other words,
believe
right now, let's say I can't really afford to give 10% to the church, but I do it anyway.
Sure.
Knowing, you know, will the increase come from God? But it is the only place in Malachi, in the whole Bible, where he says, test me. You are cursed with a curse. You ask how? Because you've not brought the tithe into my house. Let there be meat in my storehouse. And if you do, test me now here with the first fruits of your increase, and I'll not pour. See, test me. See if I not will not pour out a blessing you cannot contain.
And think about the story of Job. I mean, in some ways.
What about it?
Everything was a sacrifice for him. He lost his family. He lost his business. He lost everything. Did he trust God? You know, even if we gave everything and we didn't receive anything back, would we still say, I know the Lord is still good?
Well, why is, I wonder why I said, it is written, without faith, it's impossible to please
Because we
God.
Don't give to receive. We don't tithe in order to get something back.
No.
That's not the purpose.
That may, God said he will increase, but it could be saving your loved one from cancer.
Absolutely.
It could be having peace, you know. Yeah. You know, we're not trying to give God an out here. Oftentimes, he has prospered people. I've known some pretty wealthy people who. Did you know the original Rockefeller was going down, and he got all kinds of disease in his body and stuff, and was going to die a young death, and he was already a billionaire, Rockefeller, and he decided to start giving away his money. Started giving it away. He got healthy and lived to be like, I don't know, 98 or 102, whatever it was. He learned to tithe.
Yeah, almost sounds like King Hezekiah. God gave him, granted him another 15 years because he said, I just want to serve the Lord as I'm called to. So,
and that,
you know,
doesn't necessarily mean money. It could mean feeding the hungry, clothing the naked.
Sure.
Don't you think today a lot of people play church, though? People go and they sit in a pew and they think, well, I gave God his 10 minutes, you know, 45 minutes on Sunday. Now I'm good.
And I then call it checklist out. Christianity.
Yeah. Huh?
Checklist Christianity.
Yeah.
I did this. I did that. Yeah. I did that.
That's Where are you on Monday when somebody cuts you off and you go, I'm not going to be angry with that person?
It's a big difference between a do religion and a done faith. You know, I did all these things. I'm like, where are you looking to that Jesus has already done it? You know, we live out of a done religion where we look that Christ has accomplished it all. And now I just live in response to that. Mm. Too often people think, well, I gave my 10%. I showed up on Sunday for church. I must be good with God because I did it.
How about this?
The focus on you.
How about this?
Not
it also,
on
it
Jesus.
Also says if your family needs something, you take care of your family and you give your tithe, because if you don't take care of your family,
you'll be worse than an unbeliever.
Worse than an infidel. That's right. Exactly. And it's, you know, it's kind of like, yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of debate about the tithe. Is it 10%? Is it whatever? I mean, God loves a cheerful giver. I think if you didn't know where to start, I think a tithe is a good conversation of a starting point. But if it brings you to the point where you are unable to feed your children or take care of your spouse, I don't necessarily think the tithe is the right amount.
Do you know what happened with Lord and Taylor? Remember the stores?
No.
Lord and Taylor? Okay, it was Taylor, and he was failing. He said, God, if you'll prosper me, I'll give you half my business. He came out of the business. He gave 50% of the profits away, and he became world rich, worldly rich. Now it's now gone out of business, but that's probably because, you know, by the third or fourth generation, they lose it because they
how quickly do we forget? You know, you were mentioning at the top of the show, God calls us to remember, to remember, to remember.
And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor." In spirit. Now, people say it's poor. No, not poor. Poor in spirit. In other words, you and I have a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I've met other people young like you, and they're very happy to meet you, but you can tell immediately they have no desire because they have, you know, $12 million in the bank account. It's nice to meet you, but it's a perfunctory hello. I don't really need friends. I've got money. Money is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is, this is why people sulk and they sit in their houses. Like, I know of someone on the beach. They have eight servants full time.
Mm-hmm.
The guy sits at home and just drinks till he's drunk every day and reads books.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife wants to go out and he doesn't want to go out. I mean, you know, he's being robbed by the very fact that he has too much money. He's being robbed of life. Where, if, not that I'm wishing this upon myself, but have you ever been down and out?
Oh, yeah.
When you were in school, maybe in college? I remember being hungry.
Even as a pastor, I've been down and out. Not my pre-Jesus days, my post-Jesus days.
Have you sat at a meal and just, like, I remember one time I was so hungry in Baltimore, Maryland, back in the 60s, we had no food. I was starving. Some couple downstairs, when we're clearing out this old apartment for a friend, they said, come on in, we'd like to feed you. And they gave us each a little bowl of white rice and mushrooms. And to this day, I go to a Chinese restaurant, I get a little white rice and some mushrooms. That tastes as good as steak and lobster to me. That thankfulness will, thank God that thankfulness will never leave me, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord uses suffering and the Lord uses grief to come back to the Lord, look to Him. You know, sometimes Christians think that, because I have my faith in Jesus, no matter what comes at me, I should be bulletproof. And nothing in the world will take away my joy and my happiness. And yet, when Christians feel like, but Lord, I just lost my house, my son won't talk to me, my kids walked away from the faith, and maybe you felt like...
And maybe they need to think about what part are they playing in that, by the way.
You think about, but some Christians will say, well, but if I'm really trusting in Jesus, these things shouldn't affect me.
We're saved, and everything's supposed to be... Jesus, I said this to a long-time Christian recently, and I was shocked on the other line. I said to this person who's in media and a Christian, I said, well, Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It's in the scriptures. And he said, well, I'm sure Jesus didn't need to learn obedience. I didn't argue. It's right there. It also said Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened from the age of 12 to when he started his ministry at 30. What that guy went through. He was at once man and at once flesh.
The last time we hear about his father, Joseph, really is about Luke chapters 1 and 2, and then you don't hear about Joseph. You hear about his mother, Mary. You hear about her.
Joseph wasn't at the cross that we know of.
Right, and do you know why his name is not mentioned at all? He probably died. I bet you Jesus was without a father, an earthly father, for many years, and then we see him when John the Baptist is coming out of the woods saying, the path.
That would fit in. I happen to have lost my dad at an early age.
And so
it caused me to have a relationship. You have adopted 4 children. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Bible says, go to take in the stranger, take in the orphan. So because I lost my dad the day before my 5th birthday, he promises in the scripture, he says, I am the father to the orphan. Because some people look on and go, why is this guy from the street? I was living in the ghetto.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.